Well, welcome to Valley Church. It's great to see you guys. I love this crew that we have with us today. Proud and happy to be in your church family. This month at Valley, we are going to talk about where we are and where we want to go as a church. This is kind of our vision month, the rest of September. So that's kind of where we're headed for this month. And we're going to kind of line out what we are about this year. Think back to 1 year ago, first week of September of 2019. Think about what was going on in your world. I looked back at my calendar, and the first week of September of 2019, we only had 2 kids. And that week, we had an anatomy ultrasound for our son, Scout, who's here, who was born in January 2020. The first week of September, we had a Valley Church gathering at someone's house. Don't know where it was. Probably was at Mark's house. We weren't meeting in this building yet. I think I did a wedding for 2 good friends of mine, and it was a massive wedding, the likes of which we have not seen in months or will see ever again, probably. But what about you? What was the first week of September like for you 1 year ago? Some of you were probably going to church somewhere else because we are a brand new church plant. Some of you might have had a different job 1 year ago. You might have lived in a different house or place 1 year ago. Life has probably changed at least a little bit for all of us, and for some of us, it might be radically different for you. Rewind just a little timeline in my mind to the end of December. China confirms cases of a new virus. By the end of January, it is spread all over the world. World Health Organization declares a global health emergency. Case numbers, deaths continue to rise through the winter and spring. Fast forward to mid-March, our country declares a national emergency. CDC recommends gathering sizes get smaller and smaller. And then in this dominoes-like fashion, states begin to shut down, issuing stay-at-home orders. Meanwhile, Zoom and Uber Eats stock value skyrockets. Masks that only dentists used to wear become commonplace. And then on a more serious note, on May 25th, George Floyd was killed by a police officer. A terrible murder in a string of many deaths of black people, launching our nation into a season of unprecedented racial, civil, political unrest, discord, violence, and chaos. Some have said that our nation has been in a pressure cooker, an enclosed space with heat and pressure and chaos. We're adding issue upon issue, chaotic thing upon chaotic thing. There's mistrust and skepticism. There's righteous anger. There's unrighteous hatred. And on top of all this, we have a pretty big election coming up in a few months. So to put it simplistically, there's a lot going on. Would you agree? And that's just like the large scale, like national stuff. There's also like your life as a human being. We're all processing this social chaos amidst our own personal chaos. So whether you've lost work, lost money, lost the ability to send your kids to school, you lost plans that you made, you lost things to do, you lost like the rhythms that your life has. Perhaps you've lost closeness with a family member or friends. Our world, and most likely your individual world, has been shaken up, to say the least. And included in there, I would guess, is our spiritual lives as well, shaken up. Whatever rhythms you might have had of spending time with Jesus, praying, reading scripture, being with people in intentional fellowship, worshiping as a church, whatever your rhythms were, more than likely in some way, they have changed. And if you're like me, they haven't necessarily changed for the better. I've been going through a roller coaster of spiritual health. One day I feel like I'm doing very well, and another I just can't believe where we are, I can't believe where I am. And part of that is that for a long time we couldn't go to church. We were watching church videos, and that's hard. And now even in-person church is kind of a source of contention. Some churches are too big to meet. Some would say that meeting as a church is irresponsible and poses a health risk. Some would say that not meeting poses a spiritual health risk. Some would say we should meet even if the CDC or government prohibits it. Some would say we shouldn't meet even if it's allowed. You guys are here, so I to a certain extent, kind of know what you think about that already. But in light of all this, in light of all that's going on in our world, all that might have happened in your life, in my life, our life, and now that we're back together in person, what I want to do is kind of address a really basic, big picture foundation for what it is that we're doing here. So the questions I'm kind of thinking about tonight, what is the church? And I use that as like a capital C church. Who is Valley Church? Why do we exist? What are we about? And specifically over the next few weeks, what's like our goals and our vision for this year? And then how do you fit into this group we call Valley Church, and what's my role? So those are things we're gonna be talking about today. So much of what I might say, you could walk out of here thinking like, duh, I knew that, I understood that, and that's okay. So if you walk out and think that, great. But I just wanna talk kind of a big, basic, broad stroke theology of church and make sense of what it is that we're doing here. So that's the plan. When we talk about what is the church, there's usually two things that people might think about. One is called the local church, and one is the universal church. So we'll talk about both of those. The universal church, that's what I would call the capital C church, is everyone who has been adopted into God's family and is filled with the Holy Spirit. So everyone who has declared the lordship of Jesus, repented of their sin, pledged their trust and allegiance to Jesus, zapped with the Holy Spirit, that's a theological term, trust me. They are part of God's universal church in Oregon, in New York, in Rwanda, in France, all members of the same body, which is the body of Jesus. And this is an amazing, really rich concept. We're just gonna overview it really fast with a couple scriptures. The first is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all, this is all believers, we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. The next one, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, 23. And God placed all things under his feet, the his is referring to Jesus, under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Next would be Ephesians 2, 19. Consequently, you, and this is a plural you, you all, are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together by becoming a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. One more, Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So the idea that we should be thinking about is this concept of one body. That is the universal church. They call it the body of Jesus, but that is all believers everywhere. We make up the capital C universal church, the body of Christ. You've probably heard that phrase so many times, and then sometimes we gotta ask like, well, why do we say that phrase, the body of Christ? That's what scripture calls the church, is the body of Christ. So the entrance into this church is marked or symbolized by a sacrament called baptism. The sacrament, it just means it's a sacred or holy kind of ritual thing that we do. And this represents or symbolizes us dying, ourselves dying to ourselves and being raised with Jesus to new life into this new family called the church. We remember and celebrate the death of Jesus through communion, which we will do tonight. Those are like the two big things that the church does, is baptize people into the family of God, and we take communion together. The purpose of the church is to bring glory, honor to God, to worship him, and to make disciples. And so we can read Matthew 28, 18, the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's Jesus' kind of final commission to his followers to go and make disciples. So here's the thing. The universal church, we all exist as part of it, but it is experienced primarily through lots and lots of different local, smaller, lowercase c churches. So if we read the beginning of 1 Corinthians, I don't have the quote up here, but it's like in the first or second verse, Paul writes, and that the heading of the letter he wrote, it says, to the church of God in Corinth. So that's a specific locale church that exists in Corinth. You could write to the church of God in Salem that calls themselves Valley Church. So he'd write a letter to us. In Revelation, John addresses these specific individual churches in these different, I think, different chapters, different parts of chapters where he says to the church at Ephesus or the church at Laodicea. So the universal church exists in these sub little sections of local churches. And that's what we are. That's what Valley Church is. We are part of the capital C big universal church, but we are our own little local church. We exist, Valley Church exists, to do what the universal church exists to do, which is to bring glory and honor to God, to worship him, and to make disciples. And we have a specific way of wording that as a church family. So we say that Valley Church exists to be a family of missionary disciples. So we think that when we do this, when we live life as a family, as a local body of Christ, as a family of disciples who are loving and obeying and honoring God, and when we live as a family of disciples on the mission of God to make disciples, we believe that we will see God's kingdom come more and more in Salem as it is in heaven, which echoes the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, which is what Jesus told us to pray, that we would desire and pray and long for more of God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. So the questions I want to address now is, what are we doing here? Like, what does it mean for you to be a part of Valley Church? What is my role and Mark's role as a part of this? So you are here because most likely you are part of the universal church. You placed your faith in Jesus. You pledged your allegiance to him, your life. You are filled with God's Spirit and you want to follow him, which means that your primary goal in life, though we forget it all the time, is actually to love God. The most important thing that your life is about is to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. When you placed your trust in Jesus, were filled with God's Spirit, you were permanently joined to the capital C body of Christ, the universal church. Ephesians 1 calls the Holy Spirit a deposit, guaranteeing your like inheritance as a child of God and your like your union with the body of Christ. The New Testament is also very clear that those who are joined to the body of Christ, the word I keep thinking of is like on paper. So like theologically, you accept Jesus, you're part of the capital C church, you're part of the body of Christ. You also need to actually be physically a part of a body of Christ. You can't really follow Jesus simply in the universal church. We at some point need some kind of local experience where you like follow Jesus with other human beings in a local church. Hebrews 10:25 says that we are to not give up meeting together, physically together in a location, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We also read at the very beginning of the church in Acts 2:46, every day they, the early church, the apostles, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So there is an undeniable, very important part of what it means to be a part of the church, which is that you are physically with people. And I realize how this sounds coming out of a season where we were not physically with people. And that's a problem. That's why it was, I don't know if your experience was like mine, but it's hard to follow Jesus when you're not around people. But that experience could look different. This could be a few people that meet in a house that counts as local church. This could be a weekly Bible study. This could be a mega church potentially, or it could be a little baby church like us. So For you to attend Valley, in my mind, is you saying, I'm adopted into God's family, Jesus' body, the universal church, and I'm going to experience that body life through this local church family. So your primary identity is, I'm a child of God, I'm in the capital C church, part of the body of Christ, and I experience that through this little gathering right here. Here's the thing though. You joining a local church like Valley is more about you as an individual committing yourself to other Christians for the purpose of fellowship and growth, love and perseverance, rather than committing to a specific church, denomination, pastor, or a style of ministry. So what I mean is that the most important element of you committing to a local church is that you're deciding to stick with and love the people that you are sitting next to right now. Doesn't matter as much that you stick with or love the pastor or the staff or the worship leaders or the programs that we may or may not have. Ideally, you would like those things about your church. But Paul's explanation of the church is not pastors teaching the Bible so that everyone grows. It's actually, I think, more importantly, you, the people of a local church, committing to one another, serving one another, and helping each other grow. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Christ himself gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So your job as primarily a member of the capital C church is to commit to a lowercase c church like Valley, to commit to one another, to serve one another, to minister to one another, to speak the truth in love, and to build each other up into a mature, healthy, stable part of the body of Christ. And that is the bulk of Christian life right there in my understanding. And if you get anything from this time together where we're teaching and opening the Bible, it's that your involvement in the church is not to come and watch, but to be the church to one another. That is an incredibly important concept. My job as a pastor, however, is different than that. I mean, I need to be a part of the church, but my job as a pastor is different. There's two primary scriptures that shape my understanding of what it means to be a pastor and kind of like my role in this arrangement we have of being a local church. The first one is Ephesians 4:11. Christ himself gave the apostles, he gave these kind of roles or offices to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of ministry. The reason God gave the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds or pastors and teachers is for the purpose of equipping the church to do the work of ministry. So my job, Mark's job, the job of a pastor, is to equip you. Literally to put tools in your tool belt and to teach you how to use them so that you can love and minister to one another. My job is also to be a shepherd or a sheep herder, to care for this flock, to serve you, to protect you from whatever danger might threaten your walking with Jesus. Primarily though, my job is to be an example. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock." Other translations say, shepherd, active voice, shepherd the flock of God that is under your care. This is Peter talking to pastors, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's what I'm going for, crown of glory. I don't know. So our primary job is to be servant examples to you, our local church. We oversee as much as we can the life of this body, and we will do our best to set things up in such a way that will help you be equipped to love and serve one another. And I think maybe I'm generalizing here, but in my kind of view of our world right now, the American big church growth movement may have inadvertently flipped this structure on its head. And what we see today is a lot of staff-driven, like professional pastor-driven, program-centric, come and watch, come and see type churches. And what I see in Scripture is not that. I see the goal of being a body, the goal is being a body-driven church where you guys are driving the work of ministry to one another and to our community. I see the need to be a go and be church, not a come and see, to go and be the body of Christ to each other and to the world. And I see the need to be a church that is not overly busy with programs and things to do for every possible age or stage of life, but a church that is simply but radically committed to helping each other grow in Jesus. So when it comes to how we accomplish this, how we set Valley Church up to this end, we have some ideas. We have what Mark and I and Kenny, what we believe to be like direction and vision from God that he has put in front of us for our church family. First and foremost, Mark and I intend to lead by example and then to help set the stage and create the environment for you guys to do the work of ministry to and for each other, the work of building each other up into mature followers of Jesus. That is the goal of this local church. So over the next 3 weeks, we'll talk about what we want to do to try to help accomplish this. And we'll do that by talking about three kind of key words in our mission, which are family, disciple, and mission. We want to be a family of missionary disciples. We'll talk about how that's going to look in our local church life. So that's it right there. For now, what we want to do is what the Universal Capital C Church has always done and always will do, which is to sing and worship the Lord. And we're also going to take communion as we begin that time. And so let's pray together as we get ready to take communion and worship together. Father, we are grateful as we acknowledge that we are just a small part of your family. Your family, God, is massive. Your church is everywhere. We're grateful to be a part of it. Would you help us to really understand that we are brothers and sisters through you with so many people? We pray that would be an encouragement in a time where some of us feel very isolated from the rest of the world. And God, I pray for Valley Church as we step into this next season, that you would help us become a church that loves each other, that does the work of ministry and helps each other become who you want us to be. We trust, God, that your Spirit is already at work in helping us do this. And we say now together, Come, Holy Spirit, come into this physical place that we are in, into the homes that our communities meet in, and help us be the body that you would like us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name.